Truly we serve one Lord, one faith. And the scripture says there's one baptism. How many know there's one God? I said, how many know there's one God? Father of all, who's above all, through all, and mostly important, he is in. For that we say praise the Lord. Amen. And before we get in here, how many know he's here? You can touch him. And we'll never, anybody want one of those never changes and never be the same when he touches you? Amen. We bless the Lord. We thank God for Brother Danny and Sissy Allen with that song. Amen. You can be seated for a minute. Truly, we honor the Lord. And can you put up our, the theme for the new year? Amen. We bless the Lord. And for those that weren't here, our theme for the new year, amen, with the help of the Lord, is believing God against all odds. Amen. I think we've had some challenges in the past, and the odds were stacked against us. But I heard the scripture say, if God before you, who then can be against you? So for the Lord willing, for the year 2015, because it's not up to us, it's up to God. Amen. Our thing throughout the year, amen, through the anniversary, through all we have, is believing God against all odds. Now, some of our situations may be financial, some of them may be health and physical, some of them may be relationships. But if God is fighting your battle, and if God is on your side, you can't lose. Amen. So our scriptures that we're going to use for that is Luke 8 and verses 49 and 50. This is one of those impossible situations. Indeed, the odds were stacked against Jairus, the ruler of the Jews. Paul says, daughter was dead. When a situation is dead, that's pretty much all hope is gone. But can you get that 8:49? But I'll read it for us. And we're going to read it, Lord willing, throughout the year. We're going to read Luke 8:49-50 and St. John's 11:40 throughout the year. Because when you got a hopeless situation, when you have a helpless situation, when it seems like there's nowhere to turn, God is always there. God is always there. 8:49 reads, while he yet spake, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not. Said, you know what? He can't do anything. This situation is finished. Thy daughter is dead. Amen. And verse 50 said, but when Jesus heard it, Lord, I just want you to hear. I don't care how the odds are stacked against me. Lord, if you can just hear it, God can turn it. Do you believe God can turn it around? Lord, if you can hear it, Lord, if you can touch it, it'll change. Amen. And Jesus spoke to her and said, fear not. The odds are stacked against me. And all of us got some odds. In our individual lives, in our collective family lives, and in the church life, we have some challenges. The first thing that God tells you is, fear not. Because you cannot get victory if you got fear. Amen. Because God is not the spirit of fear. When God gave you the Holy Ghost, he did not give you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and aid. So he said, fear not, believe only against all odds. The daughter was dead. Fear not, believe only. In scripture says, she shall. Listen, when God says something can't be, I don't care what the devil in hell says. Didn't he say, not even the gates of hell shall? Not even the demons in hell. There's no man, because it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, let's go to another dead situation. Lazarus was dead in the grave. John 11:40. How long was he in the grave? Dead. 4 days. And when something's dead, it's bad enough. You know, that's if some people have been dead for a few minutes or a few hours and came back. Hallelujah. But ain't nobody been dead for 4 days and came back but Lazarus and Jesus. Right? Those are the only ones that have been dead longer than 3 days, that 3 days or longer and came back was Lazarus and Jesus. And then Jesus speaking to Martha, he says, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto, he said, I already told you. Right? The situation is hopeless. Can you say he already told us?
He already told us.
It doesn't, listen, my resume is bad. I'm not qualified for the job, but he already told me.
All right.
My health situation looks real bleak, but he already, my financial situation, when I consider everything, looks bad, but he already
told me.
He said, said I not unto thee. Amen. You got some challenges? Said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest.
Believe.
You have a choice. Amen. No matter what any or everybody else said, if thou wouldest what?
Believe.
I'm just believing God against all of us. Against all odds, I'm still believing God. He said, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see. All we're looking for is God's glory. Amen. In every situation, we want God to be
glorified.
In all of our situations, we want God to be glorified. So fear not, believe. You know, sometimes you really have to tell yourself that, because when we look at some of our situations and, you know, a lot of times we have a tendency, and we're going to go back to what we were at last Sunday, Lord willing, about letting go of the world's preconditioning. The world has preconditioned us to think one way, but God doesn't think like the world. Amen. Because the Bible says the things of God, they are spiritually discerned. And neither can you know them by his spirit. What man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that's in man? So a lot of us are trying to get some spiritual deliverance when we go to the spirit of man. All he understands is what's in man. The scripture said, but the things of God, only the spirit of God knows. And that God has revealed those secret private things unto us by his spirit. Hallelujah. So today we're not going to keep just dingling and dangling and messing with what man says. But the highest authority in the world and the land is who? God. How many of you know when God says something, there's no one that can reverse it. There's no one that can change it. When the Lord said, let there be light, I don't care if the devils in hell was trying to hold it back. He had already spoken. And I heard somebody say, all you have to do is speak. Lord, hear, then speak. Whatever's going on, say, Lord, hear, then speak. Amen. So we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. We're going back to Romans chapter 12. Actually, I was trying to prepare more of a message centered around believing God against all odds. But every time I tried to get there, God kept bringing me back. So I said, well, Lord, I'm not going to fight you. So all those that are able to stand, we're going to read just 3 verses of scripture. And once again, we're trying to let go of the world. You know, can you get Ella Tesley's illustration? It's the illustration that he had about the world. The man was trying to throw the world away, but the world was holding on. The world wouldn't let go. Amen. And that's, it's a cartoon, but it depicts the true character of the world. It won't let go. It just keeps on holding on. Amen. And the man is trying to trash the world, but the world said, no, don't let go. He said, you're making a big mistake. He said, please, please, this is an unnecessary sacrifice. All y'all got y'all's bulletin, right? Look at the bulletin. I don't know. Maybe sometimes you have a problem maneuvering. Amen. If you got a book, just look at the cartoon illustration in your bulletin. And Ty, you can say that. Don't worry about it. Look at your cartoon illustration. The man is trying to get rid of the world, but the world is trying. You know why the world tries to hold on to us? Because who's the God of this world? So the world wants to hold on to us so Satan can have the influence. Amen. So we want to start the year 2015 off right. Amen. And the way we start it off right is letting go of things that will take us away from God. And we want to embrace the things that will bring us to God. Amen. Amen. So we're going to read in Romans chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. And once again, we're trying to let go of the things that will hold us back. And if we were to have a sub-thought topic, it's like, I just got to be holy. I just got to be holy. You cannot be holy and worldly at the same time. Remember last week in James, we went over, he that will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Amen. Verse 1 reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure. Lord, we thank you for the measure of faith. Lord, we thank you that you're God, hallelujah, and that you're ruling the kingdom of man, and being the ruler and our supreme Savior. Lord, you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, and we say thank you. Now, Lord, we assemble today in thy presence, for we know and understand that in thy presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand is a pleasure evermore. Lord, we come against every demon in hell, every effort, every attempt of Satan to distract us. We summon that spirit even now. And Lord, we ask you, may the word of God have free course. Lord, bless these lips of clay. Lord, for without you, we can do nothing. Lord, we ask you to move self aside and send your anointing. For we know that only your anointing can destroy the yoke. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. And you may be seated. Let it go. It's not always easy to let go. Amen. I saw an illustration once of someone was trying to advance on a set of monkey bars. I don't know if any of y'all have ever seen this illustration. But the person was trying to advance on the monkey bars, but they were afraid to let go. And the illustration said, you can't get from one end to the other end unless you let go. There's some things that we have been holding on to, whatever has preconditioned and trained us. These things are holding us back because they keep us tied into the world. You know, like I said, the illustration said, the man is trying to get rid of that world, but the world is holding on. I wonder if we, you know, the good thing about God is personal. Salvation is personal. Amen. When you go to heaven, you can't go for anybody else but for your. The Bible says every man must give an account for themselves. Salvation is personal. And this afternoon, we need to make it a personal assessment. Spiritually. Lord, am I holding on to anything that will hold me? Now, you can't go forward in Christ if you're afraid. You know, for years I've heard people say, well, I would have done it, but I was just so scared. So 20 years later, Lord, Terry and Wilma, they're in the same position they were at 20 years ago because they never let go. Amen. It's important that we as a people of God learn to let go of anything that will hold us back. Amen. Anything that tries to get a grasp on us. I don't care. You know, a lot of times we say, well, that's just the way I always been. That means let that go. Amen. Because we're trying to reflect the true character of God. So we need to let some things go. Even mannerisms. God, I thank you. How many know God is good? God loves us so much that he allows us to see ourselves. If we don't think of ourselves more highly, then we ought. Amen. The Bible says there's a way that seems, when you're just thinking about it, there's a way that seemeth, right? There's a way that you think is all right. But the scripture says, at the end of that thinking is a way of, we're saved to get life and not to get death. So there's some things we need to let go of. Amen. And Paul says in the second verse of Romans 12, he said, the number one thing, we're trying to present our bodies a what? Living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is first what? Holy. Amen. You cannot be a living sacrifice to God and be unholy. Then he goes on to say, well, the way you present your body, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And once again, I know we're repeating some of the things we went over last week. Your reasonable service is your worship. Your worship is your reasonable service. So it's only reasonable for me to worship God for how good he's been. Amen. The song said, a little talk with Jesus will make everything. So I worship God. Amen. My reasonable service is my spiritual worship. And in trying to be having spiritual worship and being holy, he said, hey, if you want to be spiritual, you want to work your worship to be right, you want to be holy, then you can no longer conform to the world. Amen. But you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may. You got to prove some stuff, right? You got to prove what is good. God's good, God's acceptable, and God's perfect will. Amen. So what we're trying to do is let go. Hallelujah. You know, I've had some habits. I'm probably in my 50s. Or, I don't know. I'm in my 30s or my 50s. I think I'm in my 50s. I don't know. One of them is. But I had, whatever they are, I had them for a long time. But there's some ways that I developed through childhood, through life, that don't reflect God. Those are the things that I got to get rid of. Even in dealing with the world, I still have to represent God. And you know, as I was praying this morning, you know, I think I was praying, I said, some of us take some spiritual coffee breaks, right? I've been with people, they said, coffee breaks, they just got a set time. You know, I was with somebody a few times. The phone went off, they said, oh, I said, who's calling you? He said, oh, no, this is just my alarm to let me know it's time for my break at work. Right? Some of us have taken some spiritual breaks, some coffee breaks. Now, the thing about a coffee break, who sets the time for your coffee break? Whoever's in charge. Amen? The devil has set some spiritual breaks in some of our lives. There are times we should be in God and we in ourselves. Because when you take a coffee break, that's you time. You don't have to worry about the job. You don't have to worry about none of your responsibility. That's you time. Unfortunately, many in church are taking some spiritual coffee breaks. That you time. When it ought to be God's time. And the devil knows. He said, well, you know what? This is set. I already know when I hit them with this, they're going to take a spiritual break because they can't handle it. Right? So whatever that test is, what is your biggest test? You know it. You know the biggest thing that will sidetrack you spiritually. That's what the devil will use to get you to take a spiritual coffee break. When you ought to be getting in touch with God, when you ought to be giving an account for your business, you're doing you time. That you time conflicts with God's time. Amen. So we want to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, and we want to be doing the perfect will of God at all times. Now, the thing is, let's go to Psalm chapter 24 and verse 3. We're trying to present ourselves to God. Do you know we can't present ourselves to God any kind of way as we went over last week? We're not going to go over all the scriptures. You're going to present yourself to God. There's a way that you have to present yourselves to God. Every time Israel sinned, when Moses had them prepared before God, he said, go tell them to wash themselves, change their clothes, sanctify themselves, then appear. You can't just keep giving God anything and preparing for God any kind of way, because that is not acceptable unto God. You know, such and such, I'm about to get it me now. Don't take that spiritual break. You better see God. Too much you time and not enough God time. Too much me time and not enough God time. You better stay in God. Now, you can't present yourself before a holy God in an unholy manner. 3 says, who shall? Can we say who shall?
Who shall?
We're just trying to appear before God. Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord? Or who shall? You want to go in this holy place? You know, if 2 people that are still before God, Joshua and Moses, right? And the Lord said, you can't appear before me with the same way you've been walking in the world. You know, all those places you've been treading on with your shoes. He said, now you're before me. He said, now so take off your shoes. Because you can't bring all that unholy stuff that's on your shoes in the presence of me. Right? He said, take off your shoes from the place where thou standest is. Anybody this afternoon need to take some stuff off? Because we're standing on? You're going to talk to me. We're standing in on holy ground. So there's some stuff we need to take off. You need to take some stuff off. So who's going to send into his holy hill? He that has. Lord bless you. The only one that determines what's clean is God and not us. He that has clean hands and a. Who wants to appear before God? You got to have clean hands. Lord, when I examine my heart, Lord, this afternoon I'm going to judge myself because I don't want you to judge me. Hallelujah. He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not. So, to be humble, you appear before God. Be high. And lift it up. Now, some people, you say, no matter what you tell them, they're going to do what they want to do. You can't appear before God. Amen. You first got to have clean hands and a pure heart, and you can't lift up your soul to vanity is emptiness, wastefulness, things that don't profit you. You can't lift up your soul to that. Nor sworn. We're talking about what's the opposite of clean hands and a pure heart? Pride and deceit. Amen. Because when we hear the word and we don't do it, the Bible says we what? Deceive. How are we going to hear the word? Deceive ourselves and then say, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just going before God. God said, you got to come before me. You got to come what? Right. You can't present yourself or myself or anybody else's self before a holy God in a non-godly way. He said that when you do it the right way, he shall receive. Lord, I'm just trying to let some stuff go because it's been a long time since I got a blessing. It's been a long time since I had some deliverances. I want to do it right, Lord. Lord, so for me to do it right, I got to do it God. Can you look at somebody and say, you got to do it God's way? Don't keep holding on. You got to do it God's way. You cannot appear before God if you're not clean. You can't appear before God if you're not pure. Amen. And I know we won't finish all these scriptures, but we'll get as far as we can. Today, Lord, I'm an open book. Amen. Paul writing to the Hebrews said, everything is naked before the eyes of him for what we have to be. When it comes to God, everything is naked. Why? Because his word is quick. His word is powerful, and his word is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine asunder. Listen, only the word can do this. Even great doctors can't do this. They can't divide the soul from the spirit. Right? The doctors can't do that. or the joint from the marrow? Only God can do that. So that's why it's naked before the eyes of Him before we have to do. Amen. Naked. His word is quick. But you know what His word does? It's a discerner of the thoughts and the. When you give heed to God's word, God's word reveals your heart in advance. You don't have to go through, say, well, you can't let me make some mistakes. No, God's word will prevent you from making mistakes if you give heed, because it's a discerner of the thoughts and the. What you plan on doing, God already knew it. He said, just do it my way. Let go of your way and do it my way, because your thoughts are not my thoughts and neither are yours. Anybody know that? Lord, anybody know my ways and not thy ways? My thoughts. So you need to let some stuff go, because it's getting in the way of you pleasing God. And you've been doing all you want to do, talking, acting, and doing all this ungodly stuff, and then go out and call yourself getting down on your knees and praying. God said, if you're going to come before me, you got to come right. Amen. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness. That means you're in right standing with who? So in order to appear before God, we must be clean. Now let's go to Job 17 and verse 9. Job 17 and 9. I just want to, Lord, today, when I leave church, I want to hear you say. You know, I don't need to applaud a man. Jude talking about having men's person in admiration for gain. I don't need that. I just want to hear God say, well done, thy good. And how can you be good if you're not faithful? And if you're going to be faithful, then you'll be good. And to be good means you can do what God wants, because God is a good God. Can I get a praise the Lord? So Job is going through some struggles right now, and he's reasoning with his friends. You know, sometimes when you talk to your friends, they tell you, so, well, you know, God don't do this, God don't do that. You know, that's what his friends, they made the mistake. That's why they had to go and let Job pray for them at the end. But while Job is going through, he said, one thing I do know, hallelujah, I won't sin and I won't curse God. He said, the righteous shall. Now, when you have to hold on to something, that means some stuff is trying to take it away. What is trying to take away your righteousness? What things is the devil and the world presenting before you to take away your righteousness? Because righteousness is right in the eyes of God, right? He that has clean hands shall grow what? You got to hold on to righteousness. You got to hold on. You know what that says? Just hold on to whose way? God's way. Right? The righteous shall hold on. Some people are trying to whisper some ungodly stuff in your ears about stuff you don't want to be bothered with. Hold on to your way. Be right. Right? Because the righteous will hold on to things. And then when your hands are clean, the scriptures say you will grow what? Stronger and stronger. Now go to Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8. We're trying to be clean in the eyes of who? To be clean in the eyes of God means we want to be holy. Amen. Only way we can be pleasing to God is we want to be holy. Now, I know this is more teaching than preaching, but isn't it time for us to let go of things that are holding us back? Whatever is a hindrance to you spiritually, we need to let it go. Actually, before we go to verse 8, why don't we go to verse of Isaiah? Let's go to verse, we're going to read verse 3 and 4, then let's get down to 8. I'm just trying to be right. And then if you, Isaiah 35 ties into Hebrews chapter 12, as we'll read, amen? Isaiah 35 ties into Hebrews chapter 12 because we want to be holy before God. It says, strengthen ye the what? You can't do anything from God if you're going to be weak. It's time for the weak to say, time for the weak. I don't know what you went through. It's time for the weak to say, I am what? I'm strong. Daniel said, they that know their God shall. Anybody want to be strong? You can't be strong outside of God. They that know their God shall be strong, and they shall. Lord, I just want to be strong. And spend some time with God. They that know their God shall be strong and shall. Amen. It's time for you to strengthen the weak hand and confer the feeble knees. Hallelujah. Say to them that are amen. We're talking about being right before God, right? Once again, what's the challenge to being right? Fear, right? Fearful heart, be strong. Fear, can we say fear not?
Fear not.
Jesus said, fear not, believe only.
Yes.
Right? Believe in God against all odds. Well, what's the challenge to believe in God? Fear. Oh, I just don't know what's going to happen. Don't you believe we used to sing a song, he holds the power of the world in his hand. I don't know what tomorrow's going to happen, but I know who holds. And because he lives, anybody in church can sing for the death. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fears are gone. Because I know who holds tomorrow. Lord, just rest. Amen. It says, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong Listen, they didn't say God might come. I think there's a chance he will come. Perchance. Right? He said, well, what? Our God will come. And a little early, he said, our God shall come. When you don't have fear, when you don't approach your situation with fear, God shall come. What did say? Elder Tennessee say? What? Paralyzed by fear. I can't get forward in God because I can't get out of this fear. The number one tool that the devil uses to stagnate the saints in the church is fear. Number one tool he uses. So he says, fear not. He's going to come with vengeance, even our God with recompense. He will come and whatever you're going through, get rid of the fear. Believe God. He will come. That same thing, God will deliver you. Whatever your situation is, he will. He will. All right, now let's go see what, that's what they said in the Old Testament. Right? Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Oh, go to verse 8 first. We don't want to jump. See, y'all make me mess up going too fast. Slow me down. All right, so you don't want to have fear. You want to be leading. Right? You want to have clean hands. You want to have a pure heart. Right? Before who? God. Why? Verse 8, Isaiah 35:8 says, when you do it God's way, that 8, it don't look like 8. Okay, let me go back to my scripture. All right. 8 says, if those have a Bible until they catch up, when you do it God's way, in what kind of way? Highway. Shall be there in what kind of way? 4 ways. 5 ways. 3 ways. Your way, her way, his way, their way. Guess what? I'm going on a highway, but there's only one way. Lord, I've been doing it a long time my way, but there's only
one way.
I've been doing it my spouse's way, but there's
one way.
I've been doing it my best friend's way, but there's
one way.
There's only one way, and it shall be called the way of
holiness.
You can't get to God unless you're holy. You can't appear before a holy God doing it your way, because I'm not trying to do it my way, right? But there's something about this way of holiness. Right? We read earlier, you got to have clean hands and a pure heart. We're trying to be holy. You can't be holy doing you or what you want to do. You cannot be holy acting ungodly. Amen? Have mercy. Long willing, we don't finish today, long willing we'll finish Friday, right? Because I haven't even got through the first, I got like 6 pages of notes. I didn't get off the first page. Right? So I said, you're not going to be here for about 2 or 3 months. No, I'm just trying to get us. You know, the most important thing tonight, today, you know, even as I was thinking about yesterday I had like a mishap. I had a mishap when I was driving. I saw the mishap coming, but I could not avoid it, right? Yeah, I did have a mishap, right? I had a mishap, but you know, as I thought about it, I said, Lord, you know what? I was dealing with some situations in my mind. Not, yeah, I'm talking about myself. God already knows anyway. I had a said, Lord, now, I thought I was going to straight out. It ain't even a church situation, right? But I had all this stuff. I figured out how to straighten it all out. Then what I had, look at somebody said a mishap. You know what I did in my mishap? I ain't blame nobody but myself, because God is a keeper. Right? So I said, what's a mishap? Don't worry about it. I had it. Mishap. But as a mishap, I couldn't get it last night, but this morning, the Lord said, you've been teaching on holiness, but you were getting ready to deal with a situation in an unholy way, right? Because I had purpose what I was going to do. I said, you know what? Even in business and in life, we still have to represent God. So God allows mishaps to how many know we're not perfect? Lord, so when I said, you know what, and then that's where all the rest of these scriptures came this morning as I was sitting there thinking about the mishap. I said, you know what? Whatever situation we're dealing with, if it's employment, if it's business, we still have to represent. Because right? We're supposed to be holy. We can't take a spiritual coffee break, right? Act all ugly and then come back, get back in God. Not a little bit. Not at all. You got to stay in God. You got to stay there. So when I told him, I said, you know what? I have purpose to handle the situation my way. But that wasn't. Because it wasn't pure. It wasn't clean. But it says, the unclean. So God allows tribulation. He allows troubles in our life to get us clean. You know, when something happens, we go crying. God said, let's clean yourself up, right? when Moses got to the Red Sea, he started crying. God said, Moses, stop crying. Everybody looking to you for leadership. He said, what's in your hand? We need to be blessing God for what's in our hands. And stop crying about what you can't, what you don't have. Right? Bless God for what you... Somebody say, I have a reasonable portion of my health and strength. I'm going to thank God for what I... That's what the old times used to say. I thank God for a reasonable portion of health. You're not confined to the bed. You're not in a wheelchair. You're able to breathe and move. You need to thank God. So what is in your hand? Bless God with that and then move forward. Right? Because a bird in the hand is better than... What is God giving you? And this is one of our biggest challenges in church. God has blessed us with whatever it is. I'm going to use me. God has blessed me with 20 suits. But I'm all messed up because I want another suit. Man, I want a suit like that. You know what I'm going to thank God for?
Well, I already got it. Thank you, Jesus.
That's a private joke. I'm going to thank you for what I already have, because I'm already glad. If I ask, I'll probably get a trophy for this one. I got it. You know what I say? Gotcha. The way of holiness, God clean shall not pass over, but it shall be for those of what? But God has made the way so simple. He said, not even a fool. The fool is said in his heart. He said the way of holiness is so plain and clear that even an atheist should not even dare. We're talking about what? The way of holiness. And present ourselves before a holy God, and we want to do it what kind of way? The right way. Thank you, Jesus. Time is running out on me. So do we have enough? Right? We know we got to be pure. We're presenting ourselves before God. Think about your presentation. Now, Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the what? That you do what? Present. Stop right there. You got to do what? Present. Your body. That's a willing choice to do it right. Present your bodies. Not somebody make you. Amen. It's time for me to do some self-examination to examine myself to see if I'm in the faith or not. And then examine myself. I want to present myself before God. As in what kind of sacrifice? Well, why don't you let go of some of your ways? How are you going to present yourself a living sacrifice? And every time we see you, we see you. When they see ourselves, they see who? They have to see Christ. Too much of me, and not enough of him. Bless the Lord, the one that John the Baptist said, you know what? My time is coming to an end. John said, he must
increase.
Anybody today you present yourself to what God realize that he must
increase.
But you must
increase.
Can we make this week the week of us decreasing? Can we make this week as we all stand the week of us decreasing? We want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like God. You know, I want to hear people say, when I see you, I see Jesus. When I see your response, I see Jesus. Even though you were in an unfavorable situation and you were ganged up on and teamed up on, I just like your presentation. Because you presented yourself a living sacrifice, holy. We have challenges. We have things that come against us every day. But how are you presenting yourself? The bill, it just charged me $500 for something I can't. Wait, I can't wait to get to the ball scheme. You gotta present yourself. Amen. I paid the bill and you turned this off. Wait. Present. Okay? Even husband and wife. I did all this for you and look at you. You got to what? Brothers and sisters, I've been dealing with you in such a how are you? You gotta present yourself. Well, who you present yourself before? God. First. Present yourself before God first. Holy, living sacrifice. This is your spiritual worship. To present yourself holy before God. You know, as a church, as the elders and the ministers and all the team come forward, as a church, sometimes we get too much controlled by the world. The world says, man, you ain't got to take that. You're a man. What, you going to let somebody talk to you like that? I heard David says when he was being cursed by Shimei, and his servant said, David, let us go. He'll be a dead dog in our hands. And David said, no, I'm going to take it. Because the Lord is going to requite and reward me good for the evil I suffered. God is in control. If you present yourself before God, no matter what the situation is the right way, God will intervene. But it's hard for God to help you until he can move you out of the way. Because God is working in righteousness and you're working in self. And self-righteousness will fail every time. So God is trying to do it his way, and we're trying to do it our way. Today, we're endeavoring to be more like Jesus. In an endeavor to be more like Jesus, we want to present ourselves before God right. You know what? The test is going to come. Because the Bible said his word will not return unto him. God's word won't return unto God. But we must give an account for what we have heard. Amen. So the test is going to come. And when the test comes, as much as I don't like it, I'm going to present myself right. This week is week of us decreasing and God. This week, every day you week I'm saying, Lord, my prayer is I want to what? Decrease. But I want you to increase. Even in an unfavorable situation, don't lose your joy. Because we are the light of the world. If the light is in darkness, you lost your spiritual witness. Present yourself before God, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship or your reasonable service, evangelist, minister, all that.